Well, this evening, can you hear us? This evening, we're going to talk about Memorial. This weekend, here we celebrate or hold apart a day that we call Memorial Day. And it's a day that our country sets aside once a year to remember those men and women that have given their lives for our country. And it's because of their sacrifice we can live in our country and enjoy the freedom that we have here in America. But as Christians in the Bible, we're told to observe a weekly memorial in remembrance of Jesus and his sacrifice for all mankind. Now this memorial is called different names. We find in Acts 20, verse 7, it's referred to as break the bread. In 1 Corinthians 10, 16, it's communion. In 1 Corinthians 10, 21, it's the Lord's table. And in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 20, it's the Lord's Supper. And so all these terms, all these names are all referring to the memorial that Jesus established after he had partaken with his disciples the Passover meal. And so Jesus institutes his memorial supper while he was participating in the Passover meal with his disciples. And the origin of the Passover is found in the book of Exodus in chapters 11 and 12. And I was going to look at that because this is what God had set up for his people when they were in Egypt, so they could have a memorial. They could remember what God had done for them once a year. And so I'm going to read Exodus 11, verse 1. I'll be in Exodus 11 and 12 for a little bit. So Exodus 11, verse 1 says, "Now the Lord had said to Moses, I will bring one more plague on Pharaoh and on Egypt. After that, he will let you go from here. And when he does, he will drive you out completely." So up to this point, God has brought 9 plagues on Egypt. And those plagues are found in Exodus from chapter 7 to Exodus chapter 10. They're found in there. And it's the plague of blood, the plague of frogs, the plague of gnats, the plague of flies, the plague of livestock, the plague of boils, the plague of hail, the plague of locusts, and the plague of darkness. And now after all these plagues, Pharaoh still refused to let Israel leave Egypt, and he still kept them in the bondage of slavery. So now God has told Moses, "I will bring one more plague on Pharaoh down in Egypt, and that plague will be the plague on the firstborn." And I'll now read Exodus 11, verses 4 through 8. It says, "So Moses said, this is what the Lord says." And this is Moses talking to Pharaoh. It says, "So Moses said, this is what the Lord says. About midnight, I will go throughout Egypt. Every firstborn son in Egypt will die, from the firstborn son of Pharaoh, who sits on the throne, to the firstborn son of the female slave, who sits at her handmill, and all the firstborn of the cattle as well. There will be loud wailing throughout Egypt, worse than there has ever been or ever will be again. But among the Israelites, not a dog will bark at any person or animal. Then you will know that the Lord makes a distinction between Egypt and Israel. All of these officials of yours will come to me, bowing down before me and saying, 'Go, you and all the people who follow you. After that, I will leave.' Then Moses, hot with anger, left Pharaoh." So we see here that Moses is telling Pharaoh about the severity of this next plague that's going to come. It's going to come on the firstborn, and it's going to start at the highest person, which is Pharaoh's son. He sits on the throne, and it's going to go to the lowest, to the slave woman and her child. So it's going to affect everything, and even the cattle. So he's telling Moses that. But then I'm going to read verses 9 and 10. It says, the Lord had said to Moses, Pharaoh will refuse to listen to you, so that my wonders may be multiplied in Egypt. Moses and Aaron performed all these wonders before Pharaoh, but the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he would not let the Israelites go out of his country. So again, we see that the Lord has hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he would not let the Israelites go out of his country. And God now he's just going. And in all of these plagues, there have been miraculous signs on how they're happening and stuff. So again, this is going to be a big one. And we see here that's what's going to happen to Egypt. But now God has a plan for his people. And although they're there, God has set aside protection for them, and he gives them instructions so that Israel will avoid being judged by the plague that God is going to send. So I'm going to read Exodus 12, 1 through 14, and then verse 17, and then verses 26 through 29. So it says, the Lord said to Moses and Aaron in Egypt, this month for you is to be the first month of your year. Tell the whole community of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, each man is to take a lamb for his family, one for each household. If any household is too small for a whole lamb, they must share one with their nearest neighbor, having taken into account the number of people there are. You are to determine the amount of lamb needed in accordance with what each person will eat. The animal you choose must be a year-old male without defect, and you may take them from the sheep or the goats. Take care of them until the 14th day of the month, when all the members of the community of Israel must slaughter them at twilight. Then they are to take some of the blood and put it on the sides and the tops of the door frames of the houses where they are going to eat the lambs. That same night, they are to eat the meat roasted over the fire, along with bitter herbs and bread made without yeast. Do not eat the meat raw or boiled in water, but roasted over a fire, with the head, legs, and internal organs. Do not leave any till morning. If some is left till morning, you must burn it. This is how you are to eat it, with your cloak tucked into your belt, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. Eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. On that same night, I will pass through Egypt and strike down every firstborn of both people and animals, and I will bring judgment on the gods of Egypt. I am the Lord. The blood will be a sign for you and the houses where you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. No destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt. This is the day you are to commemorate for the generations to come. You shall celebrate it as a festival to the Lord, a lasting ordinance. And so here we see that God is giving them instructions on how they're to slaughter their lamb and put the blood on the doorpost and over the head of the doorway. And so what the blood is showing is it's all pointing to Jesus' blood that's going to be shed on the cross and how we will be saved through his blood, just as Israel was saved through the blood on the door frames. And when you had the blood on the door frames, God showed mercy to you and your family on that judgment. And just as Christians, when we're baptized into Christ, we too will be shown mercy on the day of judgment because of our belief and our trust and our also confessing of Jesus Christ. And so now that's where the Passover came in. I want to look at what Jesus instituted for us. And so Jesus and his disciples were observing the Passover when he institutes his supper. And I'm going to be reading Luke chapter 22, verses 7 through 20. says, then came the day of unleavened bread on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. Jesus sent Peter and John saying, go and make preparations for us to eat the Passover. Where do you want us to prepare it? They asked. He replied, as you enter a city, as you enter the city, a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him to the house that he enters and say to the owner of the house, the teacher asked, where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples? He will show you a large room upstairs, all furnished. Make preparations there. They left and found things just as Jesus had told them. So they prepared the Passover. When the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table, and he said to them, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God. After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it. And he gave it to them, saying, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. So here we see that Jesus has instituted his Lord's Supper, the Lord's Supper, after they had participated in the Passover meal. And that's what to do. And we remember not only the sacrifice of what Jesus did, but also him conquering sin and death. And Jesus also asks us to do this in memory of me. Now, the Passover meal, when they were partaking of it, it had three items. It had lamb, it had unleavened bread, and it had bitter herbs. And Jesus took the unleavened bread and the cup and instituted his Lord's Supper with those elements. And so, who should partake? And when I'm going to read 1 Corinthians 11, verse 18. Actually, 17 and 18. In the following directives, I have no praise for you, for your meetings do more harm than good. In the first place, I hear that when you come together as a church, there are divisions among you, and to some extent, I believe it. So here, Paul is saying, he's giving corrections about the abuses that are taking place in the Lord's Supper. And he's telling the Corinthian, and it's a church, that when we assemble as God's body, we're the ones that partake of the Lord's Supper, and we do that weekly. So it's a church that should partake of the Lord's Supper. And then what's the purpose of the Lord's Supper? I'm going to read 1 Corinthians 11, verses 24 and 25 for one of the purposes. Verse 24 says, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. So here that we see this is when the purpose, one of the purposes for participating in the Lord's Supper is that we are participating in the Lord's Supper. And Jesus says, do this as a memorial to me. So this is also a memorial. So the church comes together and then we celebrate a memorial of what Jesus has done. Another purpose for the Lord's Supper is in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 26. It says, for whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So again, another reason is we're proclaiming Jesus' death, that he died for us, he died for sins, until he comes back again. So again, that's another reason. And one more reason that I have is it's in Luke 24, verses 30 through 32. Luke 24, verses 30 to 32. And you're all familiar with the story, but just for a little bit of background, the two disciples are walking on the road to Emmaus, and they're talking, and then Jesus joins them, but they don't realize that it's Jesus. So it says, when he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were open and they recognized him. And he disappeared from their sight. And they asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and he opened the scriptures to us? So another purpose of the Lord's Supper is it brings us to communion. Not only communion with Jesus, but also with one another when we come together. And so another question could be is, well, when should we observe the Lord's Supper? And that's found in Acts 20, verse 7. In Acts 20, verse 7, it says, on the first day of the week, we came together to break bread. Paul spoke to the people, and because he intended to leave the next day, he kept on talking until midnight. So we observe the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week, of every week. And that's what we do as Christians and as members of the Lord's church. So at the close of every lesson, we offer an invitation. Now, many people have heard the Word of God and experienced God's beauty and wisdom in His creation for us. And still, they don't believe. So true belief draws us to godly sorrow. The gospel of Jesus in his death, burial, and resurrection for our sins was to repent away from what we were doing. It says, and our hearts and our mouths confess that Jesus is the Son of God, sent from God to save our souls and prepare us for eternal life with God. Every time we partake in the Lord's Supper, we are confessing our belief and our faith in Jesus. If your walk is not faithful, or maybe you have some questions about the gospel, we would love to share that information with you, or maybe you just need prayers. We would love to pray for you also at that time. So if you're in need of any of those things or anything else, feel free to come forward as we sing the invitation song. And also, if you don't feel comfortable with that, you can come to any one of us here. And if there's any way that we can help, we will.